Hi, everybody. How are you? It's Jasmine, and welcome once again to the Spring of Life show. I'm here with my wonderful, amazing, superbly talented, and technologically wizard, Benjamin. Hey, Ben.
Hello, Jasmine, and hello to everyone out there tonight. It's lovely to be on the show with you, and I can't wait for another exciting hour of talking about anything and everything. And I believe this evening we will be talking about resistance.
Ooh, you know what? I'm so resistant to that topic. I'm not quite sure I'll be able to handle that.
Well, let's work right through that resistance, shall we?
Oh, I don't know. I think I might need a couch and a glass of wine or something.
And you can gladly have that too, but that's no reason to stop continuing with the show.
Yes, resistance. That's a great topic. And I've noticed in my world that somehow it seemed like in my programming, even though I was pretty sure that I had reprogrammed most of my files, that I had a little bugger hanging out in there that was really good at showing up as distractions and showing up as essentially resistance. But I wasn't aware that it was resistance until I started looking at why it was that I wasn't doing what I really wanted to be doing. What I said I wanted to do, it seemed like I was aiming in that direction. But in my case, let's say, oh, I don't know, I would find myself sitting at my laptop at my desk and I'd be on Facebook for hours and hours and hours. Did I say I'd be on Facebook for hours? And although I was enjoying and I was, you know, I've hooked up with a new tribe with some writers and it's been wonderful and stimulating and I'm forming these amazing bonds with these incredible people and I love the technology for that because I've never met them yet I really feel like I know them and it's nice to be surrounded by my peers and they're all so talented and amazing. But I was losing myself in that. And I started saying, oh, it's a distraction. Yes. Oh, I'm using it to avoid things. Was I? But then I realized that really I was, but what I was really avoiding wasn't the work or the projects that I was really apparently excited about. So I said I was excited about, but I was actually avoiding the resistance. Somehow for me, as soon as I get close to what I'm doing or wanting, it's like the resistance shows up. In this book I've read by Stephen Pressfield called Do the Work. It's a short little writer's manual. It's about 76 pages. And he calls the resistance the dragon. And I could feel the dragon's breath in my face. And it really smelled stale. And it kept me in my place. And I'm happy to say that I'm moving through it. But it's taken a great deal of steadiness of hand and steadiness of spirit and a willingness to unplug from Facebook, start to recognize that as much as I enjoy it, I was using it as a tool of resistance, or rather, actually, more specifically, the resistance dragon or beast or cricket or ant or whatever was using that, because it knows how much I like it and how much fun I'm having with it, as a way to get me to not do that in which I really want to do to move forward in my world.
Yeah, resistance has that those things that seem so important can just be pushed back so easily for just a little bit of Facebook or just another YouTube video. Or, well, the internet is just such a lovely way of essentially procrastinating. Or to, for example, just read another chapter or to just write another blog post or whatever it is at the time. Maybe it's a little more programming. Even the work itself could become a resistant action to doing things in our life that we might want to otherwise continue with or start. It's like those New Year's resolutions that we think about, whether it is stopping smoking or doing more physical exercise. It's so easy to just get distracted with one more of fill in your blank. And I'm sure we all have had that we would just rather do some other things instead. And there is this interesting balance, this interesting interplay that always happens between, well, playing with the resistance, going for what you want, and also letting whatever project you're resisting ripen to its appropriate moment to actually get it started. Because I found for myself that just getting everything a go-ahead when it's not necessarily the perfect time for it, that, well, it's just not the perfect time yet. And very often that when things have ripened, the ideas have amalgamated to form more of a core concept, that then there is that inspiring spark that comes within. Then I really feel called to act. And all of a sudden, that project that I have been resisting just seems to flow oh so naturally.
You know, I get that, Ben, and I honor that, and I know that place. But I also am really aware that for me, the resistance, the piece of resistance that I've been pulling out or squeezing out or noticing and starting to just dissolve is that piece that when I have that excitement, that when I feel that impetus to move, that inspired action comes, and I feel myself moving towards, that I feel my body getting up, I can feel that tap on my shoulder, and it's strong and it feels passionate and alive. The resistance shows up in that moment, and that's when I go, yeah, but maybe I'll just, review my blog post one more time. Or you know what? Maybe I'll just see what else is going on so-and-so's page. Or maybe I'll go and take care of that spider web in the corner. Because it can also have me doing other things like, oh, dishes. Not that that's a bad thing, that's a great thing. But when I'm using it to avoid that excitement that shows up, that forward motion, it's just, yay, it's like a child on Christmas morning. There's the excitement and it's coming. And imagine running towards that gift that you know that you want and it's right in front of you and you're going, yes, and you're moving towards it. And then all of a sudden your body goes left and you decide to go make a coffee instead. That's what I'm talking about. And that's been the one that I'm nipping in the bud. And well, it seems so because today I allotted myself 20 minutes on Facebook and I spent 27 on it and I haven't been back on. And it was really wonderful. And I got to tell you, it was interesting to watch my body this morning to get up and start moving like, was it Pavlov's dog? The conditioned response to just starting to walk towards my laptop, which is great. I work on my laptop a lot. But do I? Do I? Am I? Yeah, I mean, it depends what I'm calling work, I suppose. A lot of my time was spent resisting that, which I really wanted to do, which is to work on my book, which is to get that blog post out, which is to create the programs for our website so people can join in and assist themselves with all these really cool tools and videos and offerings.
So let's go a little deeper. What causes the resistance to begin with?
It's the dragon, man. I'm sticking to that.
Well, if the resistance is the dragon, what brings the dragon about? I actually would maybe
That's a good question.
think and suggest that oftentimes, having too high of an expectation could be exactly what causes the resistance. Because I have found for myself that when I have no expectation, insistence, or assumption about how things have to go, what's even the holdback in the first place? Then all of a sudden, there is no particular resistance to the way things have to turn out. I'm just open for things to turn out one way or another, and I'm free to just act no matter which way it goes. And at least then I can get that one first draft that is maybe not the final product yet, but I've gotten it started. And once I'm starting the momentum, it at least gets easier and easier to get going until maybe for some people it gets to the about to finish stage. That is another hurdle where when you start to realize, oh my God, this is about to finish. I've written my book. Am I actually going to send it out and display my ideas publicly to everyone? There might be a whole nother hurdle to that one. And it's so fascinating to see not only the resistance that begins, or the resistance that stops you from beginning, but there's also the other resistance that comes about when you're about to hit a wall because you're in the middle of a project. And beyond that, there's also the resistance when you're just about to hit the send button in order to finish your product. And there's also another one when it is, well, send button, I guess when you're about to finish it, but another one when you're about to deliver it.
That's what Stephen Pressfield, the author of Do the Work, would call the shipping. And he actually spoke in the book to an author or two that had a beautiful, beautiful book written, packaged up in the days when we actually sent off papered manuscripts. Now, of course, it's all done electronically, but all packaged up with a cover letter, ready to go, and couldn't ship, couldn't mail it to the publisher. And I really get that there, I love that you asked the question, Ben, what is it? I think all your points, actually, I feel all your points are really valid. And when I use myself as my laboratory, which is all I ever can, and I tell my clients that too, I can only ever speak from my own experience because my experience of your experience is not your experience, it's still my experience. I love that. Isn't that nice? We only ever see through our own eyes. But when I ask myself what my resistance is, I have a feeling it was, and the echo of it still remains a little bit, is fear of exposure and fear of failure. And what happens if I give it my all and I actually do it? And you know what? It might just not be good enough. What if I put together all those programs on the website and no one shows up? What if I send out the party invites and guess what? No one shows up and I'm left with all the stale chips and peanuts and flat beer on my counter. What if no one reads my book? What if? And we say, we don't care. We don't care, especially, in the healing circles, the spiritual community. We don't care what others think. We don't need to be accepted. We let that go. But I would like to pony up and say that's a big load of chicken soup on the counter, okay? That is not true. We care. And it's okay to care. It's okay to care. As someone recently said, it's okay to care what others think. It's okay to want their acceptance. It's okay to care. But are we going to let that caring and that wanting of that control us? There's the difference. And if we let it control us, then we don't ship. We don't continue. We don't bother. Because we talk ourselves out of the very thing in which we desire for fear of what we think might happen and never really get to find out if it will. What if the book does sell? What if one person reads it and they're blown away by it? They're moved by it. It changed their life. What if writing it changes your life? Those are good questions. And what if it does? That can be scary too. That can also bring up resistance. Well, then who would I be? What if I discover something about myself that just brings on such a great shift or an epiphany that I can never go back? What will my friends think? What about my mother? What's my mother gonna say? Can I write this kind of stuff? Can I create this website? What's gonna happen to me? Will I be able to answer all my clients' questions? What if they present me with something that I can't handle? Then what?
And when we give in to those types of questions, that's the point when we actually never end up following our dreams. That's when those things, those little nuggets of wisdom, of inspiration that never then come to fruition. That we essentially then don't allow them the fertile soil to actually come up and become the big projects that don't only inspire ourselves, but really enrich our lives and the lives of others as well. And that then is sort of a pity. And it holds one back through one's own expectations, because all those questions that you asked were really riddled with so much expectation of how other people have to be when I send that book, when I make that post, when I finish my project, when I don't know how to answer that question. There is an expectation of things having to be one way or another, rather than getting the idea of just enjoying the journey to your own answers, because very often we don't necessarily need to have the own answers. And when we start to also play the dynamic, not only from the lower mind, the mind that's in our bodies right here, with which we perceive the world, but when we start to tap into the higher mind as well, that is the point when we get a much broader view. Because this lower mind, this little one down here, isn't really designed to have that much foresight. It's not really designed to allow us to look into the future, into that much detail of the future, that we can fully and completely grasp what's going to go on there. Same for the past. This little mind is really just thought to interface with the reality that we have right here, right now in front of us, and allowing it or asking it to do that much more than it is designed to do, it will crumble under the pressure. However, when we start to tap into our own self and start to tap into the higher mind, at that point we will be capable of being led in a way to things that are way beyond what we were able to conceive at this point. And I'm sure most of us have had one or two at least of those examples where we wanted to go down one route.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried all the best that we could, and we kept getting that inner impulse, and we just kept following it until we found out that things actually ended up turning out completely different than we conceived of. But following our own joy allowed us to continue with that thread and actually end up at a place that was even better than we could have ever thought of.
I agree, and that has been my experience. And I feel it's a good exercise. It can be helpful, providing we don't use the questions to also create a new level of resistance and distraction, because there's a way in which we can get caught up on, let's call it our awareness journey, our spiritual journey, our awakening. That can also become a way to resist living life.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm just going to keep digging for those clams because, you know, I'll never really finish as long as I'm, as my coach says, in a body on a planet. And so then I can just keep at it and never engage with life because, you know, oops, I'm never really going to be spiritual enough, enlightened enough, awakened enough. And that's not true. That I call is another fallacy, because you're awake right now. You're enough right now. You are all that is right now, experiencing itself right here, right now, in this most unique way. And that's what I tell myself. And I do agree that when we can let go, follow our highest excitement with zero expectation, insistence, or assumption on what the outcome's going to be, then we're present and open to the joy of the journey, as you said, Benjamin, and also noticing the doors that open up right in front of us. And they can be amazing and magical and mystical and surprising. And I don't know about you, but I love a good surprise. A good solid loot bag for me, I am so in. Because I know it's always going to be in my best and highest, and the flavors will absolutely benefit the stew that I'm cooking. Absolutely benefit the cookies that I'm baking, whatever it is. The cake that I'm making, use whatever analogy you would like. But I know that. And there are no mistakes. We hear that one too. Well, okay. I say that, yes, there are. They're mistakes. We've looked at something, and what we took from it was just a little, perhaps, off. It's not a mistake. A misunderstanding, perhaps. A mistake, like they would use in the film industry. Take two, take three. And not because the first one wasn't correct. It's just because perhaps we feel that we would like to do it a little differently because we learned from the first take, the second mistake, the third mistake. Then we take from the mistakes to create a new piece, a new film.
There is certainly a way of mistaking things, but even more so misunderstanding them. And very often it does take another take, another association, another way of going about things, another way of thinking about things in order to be able to get the one that fits right. But I also find there is a different type of emotional connection that happens just within me and my own thoughts, that when I get the take just right, then all of a sudden I find it fits. And it doesn't just then fit with my own understanding, but it actually seems to click with the people around me as well. And at that point, it isn't so much of a mistake anymore, but rather it comes around and the line becomes a circle.
So, you know, there's a great question, and that is, how do we know when we leave our timeline? That's a great question. It's an interesting one, and it's a multidimensional one, which I love to play there. And maybe it's not. When we leave our timeline, I'm going to interpret this from my perspective because those are the only words that I have to play with and the only place I can play from. It is my perspective that all that could ever be in any timeline experience, role, character, circumstance, event, aspect of self that could ever take place is all already happening right now. We can cross-connect with what I'll call parallel versions of ourselves. We can call them parallel dimensions, parallel universes, parallel worlds, versions, whatever word works for you, makes you most comfortable. But it's all happening. Now, we can cross-connect in our current state of awareness right here, right now, with a parallel reality or version of ourselves that could be an author, could be a healer, could be a woman or a man, could be a slave, in any given so-called time period, past, present, future. They're all happening now. Those are just words we use to describe that experience from our linear time perspective. If we are having experiences where we feel we're tapping into, let's say, another life or a past life, those are terms that we use, or a future version of ourselves or another one, I ask myself in those moments, is this serving me? How do I feel about this? Is it working for me? Is it increasing my vibration? Is it giving me something that's assisting me in propelling myself forward in my world from a very beneficial place right here, right now? And if it's not, and I feel that cross-connecting with that portion of myself, let's say that's afraid to get on a plane and can't go visit my family in another province or country that I want to see, that I long to see, that I desire to see, that I haven't been able to see because of this fear from another life of having a plane crash in World War whatever, one. Well, I would say that that cross-connection is affecting us from a very real perspective here, which is where we have to work and play. So I would do my work, and if I feel it's timeline related and that appeals to me in a way in which to move past it and beyond it or supersede it so I can get on that plane and have some stale potato chips or a really great microwave dinner and fly to India to see my family, then that's something I want to do if that works for me, because it's just a permission slip. It's just a permission slip that says I now have the power that I can do that. Now, I also know that when I have a dream or desire to become something, let's say a best-selling author, or create these rockin' programs for my clients that they can access online, and they can interact with me, and they can take these tools and put them in their pocket and hold them out and use them to unlock any door in their lives, or just the right crayon to create the right color that they feel they want right now to assist them in their wonderful, joyous walking of the earth for themselves. Now, I know that that version of me already exists. So I can consciously cross-connect with that version of me. And I also know that I would start acting like her, talking like her, and taking on those characteristics, confidence, courageousness. In my world, she's a little sassy. She's very direct, very tender and loving, straight shooter, really in herself. And I know that any current characteristic or belief or definition or meaning that I have now as this version of myself en route to that is going to come up as grist for the mill. And it could be a little uncomfy. Which means I'm going to have to move through those, dislodge those pieces of sand from my teeth so that I can move forward, take out the pearl, and become that version of myself. Do you have something to add to that, Ben?
I find the question certainly very fascinating, so I'm going to repeat it once more. How do we know when we leave our timeline? Now, in one way, this is actually impossible. We cannot ever leave our timeline, because then it wouldn't be our timeline. Then it would be someone else's timeline. So if we're experiencing this particular moment or the next moment, it means it is certainly part of our timeline. If it wasn't part of our timeline, it would be an impossibility for us to experience it. And we cannot ever experience anything that doesn't lie on our timeline. However, there is another distinction that we can make here, which is, what is my preference? Would I like to shift the direction in which my timeline is taking me? Is there maybe another way that I would like to go in my life? Do I have the calling or the preference to shift the direction? And that's where I would put what Jasmine was just talking about into play. I would start to look at what other things appeal to me. What are other perceivable timelines that I would like to rather jump on, and how can I start to adjust myself vibrationally to those particular timelines, meaning that if I would see, for example, there could potentially be another timeline that I'm imagining right now. And I mean, if I can imagine it in one way or another, it does exist simply by me imagining it. Now, when I want to actually get closer to that timeline, I start to imagine what my alter ego in that timeline would act, feel, do, respond, say, speak, and so on. And then I would start to shift my perception and my current world to match that more and more and more. Because there is a difference here in that most people think that you have to first think, you have to first believe that you have a way of getting there. But that's not necessarily entirely true. The thing that is holding us from getting there is actually our current beliefs that we believe we cannot get there. Essentially, almost anything is possible, but we've grown so accustomed to this paradigm of shifting from one moment to the next, to the next, to the next, and they seem to come in such logical sequences that it is so ingrained in our belief system that there are only certain things that are possible from one moment to the next, when actually we can make jumps to other universes if we would like to, but we've actually ingrained the belief into our bodies, into our cells, into our spirits so deeply that that's not quite possible, that we don't necessarily tap into all those types of abilities. Now, there is also another question whether that is actually relevant to our exploration that we took upon ourselves as a soul in this particular lifetime. If it's not something that's actually relevant, why even go there?
I agree, Ben, and that was well put. I do love the way that you can really bring things down to a central point, especially your opening statement, is that we can't leave our timeline. All anything we experience is ours to experience. And speaking to my point, is that if you're not enjoying your current experience, regardless of what you may have heard or been taught about karma or other lives or anything like that, you can change anything you want. You can unplug, disconnect, reconnect, create new connections, forge new pathways in your physiology, in your emotional realm, in your mental realms, in your high heart, in who you really are, in your oversoul, and in your spirit, and in your clan, and in your entire world and all that is, because you are the creator of your world. There is no outside influence that has any control over you until, of course, we say, oh my gosh, this is scary. I can't handle this. This does have control over me. Someone told me it does. And as a result, now this is going to happen. These are called self-fulfilling prophecies. And I say, if it feels good and you know you're going to live a great, super duper happy, yummy, delicious life, and you can have anything you want, I say you fulfill that prophecy and enjoy it. Do that. Do that. But if you've got one that someone told you, oh, I see a card in your spread, or, you know, you've got karma, this is bad, and it's not feeling good and it's giving you a knot in your stomach, or you believe some past life is affecting you now, the joy in that is it's affecting you now, which means you now can change it. And anything anyone dumps on you that limits you or confines you, I would just give that right back, thank you, or put it in the local, I don't know, trash compactor.
Well, and the nice thing is actually beyond just it influencing us right here, right now, there must be something we are doing currently right here, right now for something like that to influence us. And at that point, if we're doing something particular, then it means we can also change what we're doing.
Or, I agree, or even before the doing of something in particular, we're believing something in particular that would create that action.
That for me is something doing.
It's doing, yes. Yes, I agree. It is a doing. It is a doing. I wanted to address the
physical
action.
Because in a certain sense, carrying a definition is still something that we're doing, but that we have perfected in the doingness to such a degree that it has become automatic, that we have actually adopted that in such an automatic way that we do it instantly in the moment without having to think about it, such as, for example, forming a picture of a flower as soon as I say the word flower. And it might also bring about certain scents or colors or whatever it is that you do to represent something like that in your inner world.
No. I have something to add. I have a question for this person who asked this question. What if you are your timeline? Can you leave yourself? That's an interesting perspective. Nice little twist in the pretzel.
Well, your timeline is certainly a representation of you throughout several different instances of your life. Now, there is a particular question around what connects all of these different instances, what makes them into one particular life, what's the golden thread? And right now, we only have right now. There is no future. Right now, no tomorrow exists. And tomorrow, only tomorrow will exist, and not the now that was here a few moments ago when I started these sentences.
Well, and here's a twisty one too. The past doesn't affect your present. Who you are presently affects your past.
Well, it's
how's that for a nice shift?
It certainly is the case that when you even start to think about the past in a different way, the way that you feel starts shifting, and even the way that you act based on the past starts to shift. And who says that the past doesn't change as well? Because none of us really have the capacity to look into the past and say that it didn't change. Now, we have memories, but what are memories? Memories are really just ideas that are reconstructed based on certain things that we did perceive at one moment, or at least it seems like we perceived. They are still just electrical impulses that we are combining in a certain fashion in order to recreate certain circumstances. But we are still creating those particular instances right here, right now, and not in the past. Now, we have the feeling that these are based on the past, but really everything that's happened is only right here, right now. And that actually brings me back also about, or brings me back to a few different clarifications that might want to be mentioned, at least briefly at this point. One, for example, being if you exist right here, right now, it means that you have always existed and that you will always exist. Because non-existence, by definition, does not exist. So if you exist now, there is no way of being non-existent because non-existence doesn't exist and you do exist.
So, and you know, someone's just asked about mentioning that somebody spoke about traveling. And so, you know, I could say traveling in what way? And is it physical traveling, emotional traveling, spiritual traveling, consciousness traveling, mental traveling? Every time we have a consideration or a thought of anything, it is, in a sense, a traveling. Do you mean traveling out of your body and having out-of-body experiences? Dream time could be considered traveling as well.
Actually, in NLP and hypnosis, and meditation as well, shamanic journeys, there is a lot of traveling. Yet, it's all happening right here, right now. Even if we're visiting a past moment, we're still visiting it right here, right now. And it allows us to tap into anything and everything right here, right now.
Exactly. And I mean, you mentioned shaman traditions, and I'm trained in the shamanistic traditions. And any journeys that we take from the lower world, the upper world, the middle worlds, and out to go to even different versions of ourselves to perhaps heal physical ailments or retrieve information that could assist us in this current journey is still happening as you said, Ben, right here, right now, even though it seems and feels perhaps different and unique compared to the experience of getting in your car and driving through a drive through burger pickup joint or getting a coffee or buying a pair of jeans, but it is as real in that moment and as tangible as picking up a glass of water and having a drink right now. There is no difference.
I mean, there is
that. It's all true. It's all real. And it's all untrue and unreal. That's the delicious paradox of it all. And when we discover and play with who we really are, we start to get familiar and intimate with our vibration.
And it's very similar to what a lot of religious traditions are seeking. It is that experience of enlightenment. But the idea of enlightenment is really bringing the light within. And that is exactly what we're talking about when we talk about excitement, for example. It allows us to tap into that light part of ourselves that then is also capable of tapping into all various sorts of all that is, because we start to connect to our part that is much more in alignment with all that is.
And so now this question has been more specific, and I'd love to hear your take on this because you're speaking, now you've got the feather. What about traveling on Earth in relation to your timeline? That's an interesting one too. There are certain present native... Would you like to cover this one first? Or I said, would you? And it's just rolling off of my tongue. Thank you. There are certain indigenous and native... traditions and clans of shaman and tribes people who when they travel, they feel that it takes their spirits a few days to catch up. I understand that myself. Let's say traveling to Germany, generally it used to take me a week to come back into myself. Now it takes about 3 days. I'm getting much better at that. Although I feel I've also left quote unquote less of myself behind. And there is something to that, But I'm not sure that I'm actually leaving my timeline, because how could I ever leave something that is always with me?
Again, if it wasn't my particular timeline, I wouldn't be experiencing it. And I cannot experience another's timeline because that's theirs and not mine. However, there is also the next idea beyond you exist, and if you exist now, you will always exist and have always existed. There is also the other idea of one is in the all, and the all are the one. It essentially brings us to the concept of, if everything is actually one, and one is everything, which is very Buddhist, for example, as well, then it also means that us across time are also essentially one. We can tap into any one particular experience, but by going into the experience of the world as we have agreed to, by participating in this wonderful dance that we're all doing on this planet, we are actually agreeing to certain rules, sort of like on a board game. And the perception of time and space is one of them, which isn't necessarily the same type of perception that one would have from a spirit level. In spirit, it is much easier to have a wider perspective of time. Now, there are certainly differences in the perception of time. There is certainly different ways that we can flow our consciousness through the different time aspects that we're experiencing down here in this world. Otherwise, most of us wouldn't be having this experiencing this experience of time speeding up.
Absolutely, or slowing down. And the one thing I'd really like to speak to about this traveling on Earth question, because I think it's really succinct, and I've heard many people from very different traditions and cultures have different takes on this. And I've come to the place in my world where I know that the entire planet belongs to me. That if I can get there and I feel called to it and excited about it, and if there's a little bit, of lethargy or exhaustion, which is, you know, primarily due to me being used to a certain way of dealing with the sun phases as they rise and as the sun sets. That's okay. That's okay. I don't find any of that detrimental. I know anywhere I'm called to be, and it, you know, after being on a plane and perhaps breathing recycled air for several hours or longer, it can be a little challenging. But I don't really feel it has anything to do with leaving a timeline or leaving aspects of the self behind or being imprinted or it being a negative experience at all. Certainly anything can be experienced and given definitions or belief systems or meanings to. And that's great. I ask myself in those moments, as Ben said earlier, is how would I prefer to feel? If I'm not feeling great, I ask myself, what must I be believing? What must I be believing about this current situation and about myself in relation to this current situation that has me feeling this way? What must I be believing about myself in this current situation that has me feeling this way? And we often want to look outside of ourselves for answers, but if an answer is scary or it feels like it's reducing you or putting any one of us in the victim role or at the end of a leash of a belief or a dogmatic state or someone else's belief system, hey man, I say, you know, if that's really floating your boat, then that's okay. That might be your current preference. There's nothing wrong with that. But in my world, I want to feel good. I enjoy feeling empowered.
And very often we actually experience a lot of various different states in order to explore and find out more about ourselves. Oftentimes we can feel like we're standing beside ourselves only to discover the journey of reintegration. And well, it can even be like that with being sick. Usually I have found that sickness even bears its gift if I'm willing to remain open and actually enjoy the ride back to health. If I'm not necessarily holding myself back, then pretty much anything can become a journey. Pretty much anything can become a traveling experience, whether it is that new project or whether it is the way through the resistance that I've been feeling, whether it is getting healthy again, or whether it is an actual physical journey here on Earth that I have decided to take up on myself. But very often it can also happen that I don't necessarily always end up in the place that I was planning to end up in, or it might look vastly different than what I saw in the pictures, or I might just feel vastly different than I had planned originally. And it is all essentially a journey to discover not only why the things happen the way they do, but also to rediscover how the journey continues and how we can find our integration of all these experiences. There are essentially so many journeys happening at any one particular time, and we can also visit spaces within our minds, with our spirits, without necessarily having to take our bodies with us. But we can then come back into our bodies and experience the world from this viewpoint integrated in our bodies just the same. And it is so lovely, specifically through going within, closing your eyes, whether it's meditation or hypnosis or journeying or shamanic journeys, for example. They're all such a wonderful way of being able to travel, to have real, true experiences that are no less valid than journeying on this beautiful planet Earth, that allow to enrich you without ever having to spend a dime. The only thing that you then do is spend your time, and even your time perception changes during those journeys. So oftentimes you get more bang for your buck.
Bam! That was well done. And you know, I enjoy that you're speaking to conscious journeys such as meditations, visualizations, shamanic journeys, information retrieval, soul retrievals, all of these wonderful terms that we've given to these experiences. And my experience is that we can consciously do it. And I mean, I, you know, invite anybody to go and walk down the street or sit in a restaurant or a subway or a bus and look at how many people are looking down or looking off to one side and their brows are furrowed or their eyes are turned up. They're journeying too. They may not, but they're not necessarily consciously choosing a journey to heal something or gain information. Although they're doing the same thing. And some of their journeys, if you look at the expressions on their face, you may notice that it doesn't look like they're having such a good trip. Their travel plans have gone awry. Their luggage is in one area. Their thoughts are in another. I had a friend that used to say, you know, Jasmine, you can take a trip and you don't even have to leave the farm. And that for me has certainly been what my awakening journey has been like. You know, what a trip. Going inside. You want a good solid trip, like Ben says? Go inside. Check out your inner geography. That is, wow, there's terrain in there and colors and deserts and mucky, tarry pits and interesting creatures and beautiful soft kittens and everything in between. Gajillions of versions of the self and the thoughts and the belief systems. It's amazing, really.
The inner world is at least as vast as this planet is. And I have found that there is certainly almost more of a malleableness to discovering the inner world and all the different aspects that can be contained within it. You can certainly visit different timelines. Really, what you're doing then is connecting with those other timelines right here, right now. And if you start finding a timeline you're really enjoying, you can start to adopt that timeline by matching the thoughts, matching the emotions, matching the experiences right here, right now. And in a certain sense, you can start pulling yourself into a different timeline and start to experience what you're looking for more and more in that way. It's certainly a way of playing with it, but then that becomes your timeline. You can never leave your own timeline. In a certain sense, you're constantly flowing your consciousness through billions of different instances anyway. It's just that you start taking a more conscious and a more purposeful redirection of your own energy flow. And that is actually where the mastery really begins and not necessarily ends, because then the journey just becomes more tapped into not only your own self, your own heart, but also your higher mind. And at that point, it's a nice interplay between your experience down here and your higher mind. It's sort of like your higher mind is standing on the mountaintop, directing you down there below in the valley. We
Yes.
down here can't necessarily see and get all the details of what's going on, but from up there, your higher mind has such a beautiful view that it can tell you exactly, no, go to the right, go to the left, no, now straight on. And depending on what it is that you desire, the higher mind already exactly knows how to get there best. And tapping into that allows us to take shortcuts that at the moment might look like a longer way, sort of like a detour, but actually end up getting us from point A to the point B that we want to get to in a much better, more efficient way.
I agree. And you know, sometimes when we have bad experiences, or we, and beyond the experience itself being bad, and I've discovered that it's more about the definitions or the meanings that we might give to an experience that we have. Let's say when we're traveling, or when we've eaten Indian food, or God, anything at all. It can be, you know, when I ran into the table, and now suddenly that I just can't handle tables anymore. And it's really just the definition or the meaning that I gave to that experience. And sometimes we just don't know how to. We don't have the skills sometimes, or we're unsure of the questions to ask, and so we tape a label on it, or we take someone else's excuse and go, "Yeah, that's right." But I know, like I know, like I know, and like I'm sharing with everyone, and I share with myself, because hey, we all need a friendly reminder. Me too, man. That we are the creators of our reality. We are, you are, I am, Ben is the only common denominator in each of our lives. Me and mine, you and yours. And you can choose, and you do choose, how you feel, how you define what your experience is, and what meaning you're going to give it. And the question is, what would you prefer? And then, yeah, you might have to unravel a little ball of yarn, and it might have tied up to something that happened to you when you were six, or a story you read in the paper, and that's okay. And that's okay, but you can do it, and you don't have to take that on as your own. That's the freedom of being the master in your world, and it's joyous.
Well, essentially, there is no experience or thing in the world that has inherent meaning. Essentially, everything is rather neutral. So that essentially says that life is inherently meaningless. It sounds a little bit disheartening at first, but at the same time, when we further examine it, it is actually incredibly empowering, because it means that we give our life, our circumstances, our things the meaning. It means that we have the power to not only define anything in our world, but also to change the meaning if it doesn't feel to be suiting us at that time. We have the power to take anything that seemingly has a negative impact on us right here, right now, start examining what it is about this that we're giving the negative meaning and why, and in changing that and in dropping the meanings that don't assist us, that really, once we get behind that, they always seem so silly that we can't help but have them drop us. It's almost like they let go of us rather than us having to let go of them, because we start to see how silly it was to begin with to have that meaning. And at that point, that situation either becomes neutral or even beneficial. It's like that time that you at first didn't appreciate when someone gave you some feedback that you didn't enjoy. Later on, you looked a little further into it. You were able to turn it around and never have to make that mistake again. All of a sudden, that thing that was so unappreciated at first is now one of your greatest assets when maybe the stakes are higher. So all of a sudden, these things that seemed negative in the beginning actually end up being that much more empowering. And when we start to see this, because we've done it over and over and over in our own personal lives, that's when the power comes in, because we start to recognize there that there is nothing but nothing in our world that can hold us back from taking something positive out of, from shifting the energy of any meaning that we have given, and actually creating a much more empowered world for ourselves. At that point, it really becomes a different level of mastery that allows us to shift anything to the positive. At that point, there is nothing in our lives anymore that can come along that can harm us fully and entirely, because we also see we are eternal beings and meaning creating machines, and we have the power to give anything the meaning that we choose for as long as we enjoy it, and we can choose to give it another meaning if that suits better later on.
And I say all the power to you, brothers and sisters. If you want to choose a meaning on this neutral slate of life, which is so exciting to me, because you can fill it in with any colors, any kinds of lines or pictures, or wipe it all off the way you like it. If it feels good to give yourself a meaning that doesn't feel good, that's great. I love that. I love that you have that choice to define yourself. And that is brilliant. And we're coming to the close of our show, and it's been wonderful interacting with you and speaking with you. I'm having so much fun, and I'm quite honored to be able to share this time and this space and in this eternal now with you. It's so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your time. Thank you so much for sharing your questions. It was lovely interacting with you, and we look forward to being with you next week again. Come visit us on our website, springoflifecenter.com.
And you can check out my blog at jasmineeye.com. Hugs to you all. Thank you so much. It's been an exciting evening.
All the best to you, and have fun creating some wonderful meaning just as you like.